Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
And welcome into episode 35 of Intentional Grounding, our Neil Anderson episode, unless you have an objection.
Why not the A-Train?
Because one was a good running back and the other wasn't.
Rookie of the year? He has such a unique running style, you know, where his legs look like they're going faster than his upper body, like those Super Mario Kart, you know, video games where his legs are running and he's still in place. I always felt he ran that way. It was always funny to me. You know, that was my nickname also in college for like
the A-Train?
The A-Train, yeah. Back when you're going out at night and drinking lots of beers, shotgunning beers, that's a different story, but that's a different life.
So the A-Train for different reasons, yes. Then, I guess. All right, well, it's Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, Intentional Grounding, and we are inside the Hallis Hall closet that we know and love. The only downside of this is that we're not going to be able to do one last episode in the basement.
No farewell episode. And there's a lot of stuff in this closet today.
Yeah, every time we come in here, there's more and more bags of crap and tables, and I think they're maybe trying to send us a message, but we're going to plug through and still get you these episodes of Intentional Grounding here at Hallis Hall. And another busy day of OTAs. I guess I should get you through the particulars first. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll both have some content up today from a busy day at Hallis Hall. And I would say if we start with the lead, it's got to be some of the comments that Willie Young today. We finally had a chance to talk to him, requested him last week, didn't get him, requested him today. We did get him. Very talkative. And the big story was that, you know, there's been this report out there that the Bears and Willie have been talking about an extension, and Willie flat out said today he wants to stay in Chicago, would like to finish his career here.
Use the words long term. I don't know what a 30-year-old pass rusher is going to get long-term in the NFL these days. But, look, there was this misconception last year that he was just a malcontent, that he was just very unhappy. Yes, he had his back against the wall, per se, because he was learning a new position, was coming off a serious injury, a torn Achilles tendon. Didn't really know his place on the Bears, but he figured it out. Was very confident in his abilities, and he likes playing for Vic Fangio. He likes playing for Clint Hurt. So this idea that he was just so unhappy, wanted to get traded, not a lot of that was true.
Right, and I think that you have to really understand the situation he was in. New coaching staff, new front office that didn't bring you here. New defense, new position. All these things going up against him, and on top of it, he has a torn Achilles, which is one of the worst injuries you can have, and he can't do anything about it. This whole last offseason, he couldn't do anything physically, and he's got this whole situation around him. So I think he wanted to be a Bear. I don't think he wanted to get traded last year, but he had a lot of things going against him, and he had to push through it all.
I like what he said. I think it was Pat Finley who asked what he learned about himself going through all that, the torn Achilles tendon, new coaching staff to impress, new position. What did he say? I'm pretty good. Pretty damn good. And you love the swagger. You know, it was the Willie Young of old. Last year, you got that bit a lot because he was, especially in the middle of the year, he was still trying to get his feet, you know, underneath him, trying to learn this new position. But it was the old, cordial Willie Young, comfortable in his own shoes, confident player. It was good to see him back at the podium today.
Yeah, and I got that impression right away when we started talking today. It was the Willie Young we talked to 2 years ago and enjoyed talking to every week. I think that last year, maybe that got misconstrued as him not wanting to be here. Because what is he supposed to say? I mean, how many interviews can he do when he's not even playing? Well, he was a healthy scratch in Seattle last year. And I think that's probably what started some of these discussions about whether or not he really wanted to be a Bear. But it wasn't Willie Young that got traded the day after that game. It was Jared Allen. And that opened up some playing time for him. And once he was healthier, I think he showed that he can be an outside linebacker, even if he doesn't want to be called that. And I found it interesting him saying today that one of his goals this year, again, didn't want to be called an outside linebacker even today. He's going to keep that bit going, and that is a bit. Everyone needs to understand that. But he wants to prove this year that he can cover, which is something an outside linebacker needs to do. He said that today, that that's one of his goals. And, I think he can do it.
I think he's your starting outside linebacker opposite Pernell McPhee. I think all four of those top guys, again, McPhee, Young, Lamar Houston, Leonard Floyd is going to be your situational pass rusher. All of those guys are going to have a lot of snaps this year because you may see a Houston or McPhee moving in the middle in certain pass rush situations, certain third and longs and whatnot. But they love Willie Young here. They like he fits that whole new mindset of this defense. I mean, he was here before. Jarrell Freedman, Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks were added later, but he's got the same mindset as these guys. An edge, a swagger, that chip on their shoulder, that cliche, whatever you want to use. These are guys that still want to prove themselves, guys that play angry, the guys that are explosive, fast, aggressive, all those things. He's part of the changes that Ryan Pace wants to make for this defense. He's part of the changes that Vic Fangio wants to have on the field for this defense.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of guys talk about people being brought into this defense that have a chip on their shoulder. We also heard Akeem Hicks talk today about he thinks that this front office is trying to bring explosiveness into the defense too. I think one of those players is Leonard Floyd, who the Bears drafted this year, that has that explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. And I found it interesting that Willie Young said that Leonard reminds him a lot of himself. He was asked today a question, what were you thinking when the Bears drafted Leonard Floyd? Which is fair because that's his position. And they're drafting somebody at your position and you want to stay here long term. Well, that kind of threatens you a little bit, possibly. That's one reaction you can have. But Willie said his first reaction was, this guy kind of looks like me. Tall, lanky, plenty of length, but not necessarily the strongest guy out there. And Leonard's actually even a little bit taller than Willie Young.
I got no sense in seeing Willie Young talk today that he felt threatened by Leonard Floyd. And no, that's, look, he's polished. He's proven himself in specifically in Chicago more than he has in Detroit. He's been a more productive player here than he was for the Lions. But and no, at no point in his discussions about Leonard Floyd with the media that I feel like this, like he was threatened by a Leonard Floyd's arrival. More like he welcomed it, knowing that, look, I think he's had good productive conversations all the way up to Pace, to Fox, to Clint Hurt, to Vic Fangio. I mean, Willie Young is very comfortable with this Bears organization. Maybe it's just a matter of time before that deal gets done, but he shouldn't feel threatened by an arrival of Leonard Floyd whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. And you also got to realize that throughout his career, Willie Young's career, he's always had, and he talked about this today, even going back to college, he's always had a crowded position group. There's always been multiple guys at that spot that he's had to prove himself against. But also I think it's led to some of his success. He's been able to have a pretty long NFL career in that kind of situation. So he probably realizes right now that, hey, I get another contract. Maybe I'm not on the field every play, but I can still be productive. And I think that that's a great situation for the Bears to be in, to have all these different options at outside linebacker. And we haven't even really talked about Lamar Houston very much, and he's still here too.
What else we learned today? That Akeem Hicks can sing some Miley Cyrus. Right. You're talking about Eddie Goldman, we got to, talking about the change of the defense. Akeem Hicks is your new brute up front. Him and
are you gonna sing it?
No, I can't do that. See, you do it.
He came in like a wrecking ball.
It's almost as good as Hicks is also a big believer. Yeah, he's a Justin Bieber fan. He said
I'm not one of those. Yeah, I can't do that. But he was saying that Eddie Goldman came in like a wrecking ball. But he actually broke out in the song.
Right. So, again, real personable on that podium. It really relaxed atmosphere, I have to say, around OTAs this year. Again, maybe this is because of a year or two of John Fox, but even your Jarrell Freemans, your Akeem Hicks, guys that are just real comfortable in their shoes and what they do, knowing they know what they can bring and know that this team wants them. Just a unique vibe, even with Zach Miller. Charles Leno, who's very confident, says he can handle any player. He feels he can handle any player if his technique is sound. So I don't know what your impressions were of everybody that was marched up to that podium today, but I left feeling like all these guys are cordial. All these guys are positive about this year. I know it's OTAs. I know it's June 1st, but it felt different than last year.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I would extend that even to the Alshon Jeffrey situation, which is something I want to address because it was an interesting weekend. Alshon's not here at House Hall, hasn't been working out here in House Hall. It's been well documented, but he gets invited to throw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field and sing the seventh inning stretch, and he's there. And my first thought on that was, I don't know if that's a great move on your part, Alshon, because I don't know how John Fox is going to feel about that if you can't show up at House and practice, but you can show up at Wrigley. And the point there being that he flew to Chicago to do it. He's been in Florida. It's one thing if he's living here. But as soon as I had that thought, it was like 30 seconds later, I see a picture of John Fox and Alshon Jeffrey together at Wrigley Field. So, and from what I understand about that, Alshon actually was seeking out saw John Fox at the game and sought him out, and the two seemed pretty fine together. So, but to get to your point about how loose and relaxed maybe OTAs are, I don't necessarily get the sense that the Bears are all that bothered about this Alshon Jeffrey situation at this point. Maybe not as much as you would think.
There was also a Snapchat. You're in Snapchat now.
Right? I missed it. Was it Alshon Snap?
Yeah, Alshon Snapchatted Foxy, if you want to call him that. He grabbed him by the collar, and they asked him how his singing was. Alshon actually said he was scared, I think, or something like that. So maybe Fox was there for some motivation. It was unique, and that was the second known appearance that Alshon has made since he's not shown up for the voluntary portions. He also made a Marriott appearance during draft week. So all of it's odd, you know, it's bad timing, doesn't look good. Look, the Bears would be surprised if Alshon Jeffrey was here because, he's under the franchise tag. They know he signed it, so this isn't a holdout. They expect them. He has told the organization he will be here during the mandatory minicamp. They like him. They still got to figure him out. I think Alshon's probably following orders from his agent. You know, you have to protect your own financial interests. This is just part of the business that they live in with these franchise tag players.
Yeah, and I think John Fox has been around the business long enough to understand that. So I don't think there's any kind of big rift developing.
I mean, we should make it clear, though, that they do want him here. They are developing certain reports with players. I mean, Cutler and Kevin White looked, again, pretty imposing today. Actually, Cutler and Eddie Royal looked, again, pretty good today, but that's another story.
They looked pretty dynamic during training camp last year, too.
Yeah, then Eddie Royal got hurt and couldn't stay unhurt, I guess. So there are – you get a new offensive coordinator in Dal Loggins, so it's not a good look for him still not to be here, but – look, this isn't like the Martellus Bennett situation. We talked about it. This isn't a guy who has 2 years on his deal and is looking for major big money. They know Alshon probably deserves big money. There'll be a market out there for him. There really wasn't for Martellus Bennett. We'll see how it plays out, you know, when the deadline really spurs major negotiations. But, yeah, it is kind of unique to see a guy come in town, Snapchat with his coach, and then not show up for practice in the next 2 days.
No question. All right, another guy I want to talk to, and I want to bring this conversation to you on the podcast. I had a conversation with Hronis Grassou today, who I believe is the most important domino on the offensive line this year. You think I don't like him?
I can't even. When you're talking to me and looking at me when you're saying it, I'm. He's got a unique obsession with Hronis Grassou.
I do.
You too.
Well, they need a center, and he didn't play well last year, and he's number one on the depth chart. I mean, I think it's a pretty big storyline.
You expected him to be a Pro Bowl All-Pro center?
That's not true. I expected him to be playable. Yeah. He was not playable last year, and he was thrown in the – but, look, I'll tell you what. Based on my conversation with him today, you know, I get the sense that he's just as critical of himself for his rookie year as I was of him. And I – well, let's get to the interview. I mean, I talked to him today about it, and what I found interesting was I asked him right off the bat, what have you been focused on this offseason? And he referenced some of the criticism that's been out there. I didn't even bring it up, but he referenced that, and this is how he answered that question.
Now, I don't read much into – I'm sorry about this, but I don't read much into, you know, what the outside's saying, what the media's saying, but, you know, as I'm doing interviews, I keep hearing things about – no concerns about my weight, but yeah, my weight's gone up, but it's all good away. It's all strength.
Yeah, it's all strength.
Yeah, it's all strength. I don't feel any different than I was last year, and I added about 10 pounds or so. But the greatest thing is I don't feel any different. I feel just as fast. I feel, you know, just as quick. But the main thing for me is mentally. Mentally, I just, you know, got better in the offseason. I found one thing every single week, all offseason, to get better at in the playbook. Found one concept of the playbook and worked on that all week, and, you know, just got it down to where, you know, I don't have to think about it anymore on the field. And now it's really been paying off because I'm playing faster, I'm more confident. And, you know, as opposed to last year, you know, I was thinking just way too much. And, you know, it's a bad thing to do, but I'm glad it happened because it definitely humbled me. I'm always a humble guy, and that even humbled me even more to just get into playbook. And, you know, I pride myself on, you know, being smart and having a good knowledge of the playbook. And, you know, I was nowhere where I needed to be last year. And, you know, I was at a good spot in the playbook, but now it's even better.
So is that a good lesson that making that jump to the NFL is just as much mental as it is physical?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm telling Cody right now is he's physically gifted, very smart kid, very, you know, very good kid. He cares a lot, and, you know, I just told him, you know, you're physically, you got it all. And now, if you don't have it mentally, if you're thinking too much out there, you know, that split second that you think you're going to get beat. And, you know, I'm telling him, just, you know, stay patient, stay, you know, looking in your playbook, and just find one thing. You can't. I told him last year I try to accomplish everything all at once. I try to do, you know, too much. Just be patient with it. Find one thing and master it, and then move on to the next one. Get good at something until you move on to the next thing. And he's been, you know, getting better every single day. And, you know, that's one thing I could, you know, tell the rookies.
I know you guys don't even have the pads on yet, but what's it like having Kyle back next to you?
Feels like college. It's great. He's, you know, obviously a big force in the middle. He helps out a lot, you know, especially on double teams. And, you know, he's what's impressed me even more from last year to this year is his, you know, demeanor, his knowledge of the playbook. He's, you know, last year he was good, but this year he's even better with the playbook. And, you know, helps have guys, you know, all around the offensive line that, you know, could make the calls. That is what the center is making. You know, they make my job a lot easier. And so a lot of credit to those guys, a lot of credit to our coaching staff and, you know, getting us ready.
Matt Slauson is a guy that's really easy to look up to and, mm-hmm. and learn from. How tough was that to see him go?
Yeah, it was tough. It was very emotional. You know, it was our first offseason together, and we just were just hanging out more than we did ever before. We're golfing a lot together. We're creating a bond off the field to where on the field it's going to be even closer. And that's when that day happened. It was very tough, but, you know, we all understand what this business brings. And I got a quick awakening my first offseason here, seeing one of my mentors go. But, you know, I'm whatever it takes to get this team, you know, ready and make this team the best possible. That's all I want to do, and that's all I care about right now. And whatever it takes to get the Chicago Bears, you know, on the winning side is, you know, my biggest and this organization's main priority.
Are you a guy that welcomes competition? Yeah. Like that they brought in with Manny Ramirez and Ted Larson and those kinds of guys, those veterans behind you?
No question. I love it. I love, you know, I'm all about the team, man. I'm the most unselfish guy. I try to do whatever it takes to help this team win, and if that's bringing in competition to get me better or play the better guy, then great. If it makes the Chicago Bears a better team, that's all I care about. And but bringing them in has been great. You know, Ted's been great playing left guard with me. Manny's been great at, you know, helping me out on the side, helping me out before and after practice, in the weight room. You know, he's a 10-year pro. He's seen it all. He's teaching me all the little tricks of the trade. And, you know, he's here. You know, he's been getting me better every single day. And we have a very good relationship, you know, on and off the field already. And he's just an unbelievable guy, unbelievable addition.
Last thing for you, I'll let you go. What was your first impression of Cody Whitehair when he came in the building?
His legs are massive. Yeah, he's got a big legs under him, and you know, very shows that from day one. You know, I got a feeling that he really cares a lot. He cares about you know, this sport, about, you know, being here in Chicago. He takes a lot of pride, and he's very thankful. And, you know, and he's, you know, I told him, you're blessed to be here. You know, this organization's been great. When, you know, I came in, I told him I wasn't getting hazed or picked on, you know, being a rookie. And, you know, these guys are helping me. And I told him we're going to do the same to him because we want him to play at the best, you know, as possibly can. And he's going to be getting better every single day.
All right, so some of the highlights there from Hronis, I think. Yes, he's added weight. He's added 10 pounds. says it's all muscle. I'm sure it is. He doesn't look like he's out of shape or anything. So that's good. But it seems pretty obvious, and I know Mark Potash wrote a story about him last week too in the Sun-Times. It seems pretty obvious that he believes that his struggles as a rookie had just as much to do with the playbook and some of the mental aspects of the game as, you know, whatever lack of strength he had coming into the year, to the league, which was well documented, I think. So as much as he's added weight, his big thing, as he mentioned as I talked to him, was that he spent every day of the offseason focused on one concept and trying to master that. And he thinks he's ready to go this year from a playbook standpoint, and he's much sharper mentally. And if that's true and he's stronger, then maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic about his chances.
You know, that Oregon offense is so gimmicky. Look, I'm not an offensive line expert. I'm not going to pretend to be that. I never played that position whenever I played football. You know, I was a defensive back and receiver, even an option quarterback. But what they did at Oregon, they don't do in the NFL. It just doesn't translate. So I always thought that that's why they had Will Montgomery. It was going to take time for Hieronymus Grissoux not only to develop physically, but to understand his assignments. I mean, he's the center. Charles Leno basically said that, hey, he's our leader on the offensive line. Look, I mean, Kyle Long may be in charge of that offensive room, but Hieronymus Grissoux has to make the checks, the calls on the line, right? He has to call up that Mike linebacker and beyond that. He's got to develop a rapport with Jay Cutler. There's so many different things that he has to do to go from a gimmicky offense at Oregon to what Adam Gase wanted to run last year and what now Dow Loggins, it's similar, wants to run this year. That's kind of a big jump for him, and it takes centers some time. I know everybody wants to rush these guys in the league, but I think year two, there'll be some struggles for Grissoux, but you're going to see a completely different player than what you saw last year.
Well, you don't even have to dig too hard to find a perfect example of the mental aspect of the game hurting him, hurting the team as much as the physical aspect, because you look at that, the two-point conversion against Denver last year, right? And that was on Hieronymus. He had the wrong call, and that's why the play was stuffed in the backfield. I know there's a lot of talk about the play call and everything that went wrong and why was Martellus Bennett running this route. And it came down to Hieronymus Grissoux not having the right call at the line of scrimmage. And when he's the guy who has to make those checks and call out the protections, that can't happen. And so that's a perfect example in crunch time that could have been a win for the Bears, where he was probably not ready to go from a playbook standpoint yet.
In defenses, they're all about disguise now. I mean, they're trying to confuse quarterbacks because of what Peyton Manning and all these guys have done. Vic Fangio, I mean, the stuff he throws at offenses. I know last year he kind of scaled things back, but this year should be different. But there's so many inventive defensive coordinators now. We always talk about, like, these offensive masterminds, you know, these next Mike Martzes and stuff like this. But these defensive gurus are just as creative with the way they attack offenses. I know the Ryan brothers get a lot of credit, but there are so many good defensive minds in this league that to throw a rookie center out there who came from a very gimmicky offense, I mean, you're going to see a lot of things. You're going to make mistakes, and that's all part of that learning process. I know the NFL is a win-now league, but this team wasn't built to win now last year and probably isn't built to win now maybe until midseason this coming year. So patience is involved with some of these young players. But again, Grissoux, I think you're going to see. He's always talking about that jump from year one to year two. I think you'll see a noticeable difference from him this year.
Yeah, and he's going to have Kyle Long next to him at right guard, and that should help him too. We'll see how Cody Whitehair comes along. I'm assuming he ends up winning the left guard job, which we both kind of think he will. But yeah, it starts up front with Hieronymus, and from that interview, I like what I heard today. Let's see what happens when the pads go back on, though, because that's when you can really see what kind of jump he's made physically, because I still do think that matters. All right, what else from today's OTAs? The offense looked a lot better than it did last week. Dow Loggins wasn't screaming as much.
I want to talk about Charles Leno.
Okay.
I don't think he's the biggest question mark. Some people think him.
Well, I don't either. I don't think the Bears do either.
No. I think he is talking about a player who's confident in what he proved last year. This is a guy that's He says he used the word building a lot, like he's building towards something better. I mean, you have to have some context with him. This was a seventh-round pick out of Boise State that had to find his spot in this league, and Dave Magazoo has given him that confidence at left tackle. And I think you're going to see – look, I know he didn't look great all the time, but he held his own in many situations last year, a lot of one-on-one situations. And this is a guy that the Bears really believe in. And I see – like, I get there were talks about, you know, maybe drafting a Riley Stanley and stuff like that in the draft this year. Maybe Laramie Tunsil and stuff like that if he kept falling. You did fall past him, but you know what I'm getting at. But Leno, confident guy who considers himself still growing. This is only his third year, so I don't know why people are ready to give up on a guy like this.
No, I agree. I think that he showed – you just talk about that year one, year two jump. He made that last year.
On the fly, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jermaine Bushrod is healthy, Charles Leno – maybe he's a bubble player this year. Maybe Jerome Bushrod's still here and not in Miami with Adam Gase. So, yeah, I don't get it. I get why people like to pinpoint the left tackle as a major concern because it is, you know, the blindside protector, especially for Jay Cutler, who's taken so many hits over the years. But I get no sense. You know, you talk about seventh-round picks who make it as a starting tackle. You think of Jamarcus Webb, right? This guy is nothing like Jamarcus Webb from a personality standpoint.
No, he has the confidence, and I think that he had the execution last year too. Again, the only thing about OTAs is that no one's wearing pads. Everyone's pretty happy with what's going on, and there seems to be a good vibe here. So that we're far from the point where players are really going to be facing a true test, not only in practice, but even when they go to New England to practice against the Patriots, and they finally play a game that matters, which won't happen until September when they go to Houston. So there's a lot of things that can still pop up and cause drama, but I agree with you that there have been a lot of good things going on right now at OTAs. Not as many distractions as maybe a year ago, maybe not as many question marks, or at least some of those question marks have been answered to some extent. Anything else that we should get to from today?
Vibe is different. I think last year you had that Matt Forte situation, skipping the awards ceremony here at Hale. Saw you to Martellus Bennett, skipping the voluntary portion. So the vibe feels different. But I want to point out one highlight I saw today. The only highlight I really marked in my notebook was Leonard Floyd pass rush, an inside move. I think it was against Nick Becton. Maybe it was the Kling Klong Kong guy, the rookie undrafted guy. I forget. I didn't mark down his number. It was probably Nick Becton, though. But he did this inside swim move, or rip move, sorry, that if he could have hit Jay Cutler, he would have hit Jay Cutler. It was Cutler. So just, look, I know the concerns over his weight. Willie Young calls it BS, I know. But just very impressive for – I didn't see that last week. I saw it this week. I don't know if he's a fast learner. Maybe he just had him this time. Maybe he learned from Becton last week and what he likes to do, his tendencies. But that's the one highlight that stuck out with me today.
Well, I think you and I were standing there together when we saw that. And that was an example of that quick twitch off the line of scrimmage, winning the one-on-one battle early, which is something Vic Fangio talked about a couple weeks ago. How, yes, you might not be as strong, but you can win a block early by using your leverage, by getting off quickly. And even without pads, that was an example of where that works, because pads, no pads, I think it was Nick Becton had no chance there, because by the time he was able to react to what Leonard Floyd did, Floyd was already by him. Yeah. And it definitely would have been a sack.
I guess it was Brian Hoyer back there, because we're talking about the second team, but he set him up so well. He got those long arms extended. I'm trying to visualize it again. Faked outside. Becton made his, you know, he planted his left foot, and then he just ripped through it, and Becton stumbled, and he and Brian Hoyer backed out of his pocket almost immediately. Look, he got the pass off, because he's always going to pass off in OTAs. They're not going to hit the quarterbacks, but, I mean, if he could have hit him, he would have brought him down.
Nick Kwiatkowski also got a sack today, I believe. Forgetting which quarterback it was on, but he got in there quickly. A little hard to judge, because like you said, they're not actually going to hit the quarterback at any point, but I throw it down as a sack. All right, well, that's the second OTA, at least open to us, second week of OTAs will wrap up tomorrow here at Hallis Hall, closed to the media. But we'll be back next week with the third round of OTAs, and then the week after that, veteran minicamp, where we should supposedly see Alshon Jeffrey, because that is mandatory to show up for, and all three of those will be open to the media. So I think that wraps up episode 35. I'm sorry, I got to go Neil Anderson. Can't give it to the A-Train.
How about the Adam Johns A-Train?
That's right. Every episode is the Adam Johns A-Train.
I should say that nickname only stuck for like a couple weeks. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But that was the time when A-Train was...
It's back now. Sorry. It's back for good.
I should never said that story. Carry on, folks.
All right, follow the A-Train on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A. HNS. You can find me at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. Read all our OTA coverage at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, search for Intentional Grounding there. Subscribe, rate it, review it. We appreciate you doing that. And thanks to our producer, Mike Jacobson. We'll be back next week with episode 36. Talk to you then.